This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you in Tuesday, August 20. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you're having a good start to your day. It's going to get better over the next 3 hours because we've got bets. I've got Brazilian soccer we're betting. I've got a proposal for the big guy, Jake Novacek, our guy in Pittsburgh. He advances in Sharp Money Survivor, so we've got his video. Speaking of vids, we've got family plays. We just got so many bets all over the place. Let's go ahead and show you what's on tap today on Sharp Money. Frank Amirante is going to join. He's got week one NFL bets. He's got a baseball play for tonight as well. The GOAT, Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. He's always got stuff ready to go. And John Laub is going to join. This is a guy that Dustin's excited about, talking college football as week zero is approaching. I've got a lot of questions. We're going to try to unlock the Tarek Skubal paradox. That is betting the futures market when it comes to, he's the best pitcher in the sport right now. You know, the Detroit Tigers, they decide to hold on to him. And what they're going to do, for those of you that are betting the Cy, is very important. I got a piece of information, know somebody that covers the Detroit Tigers, gave me a little inside scoop, so that's for the big guy and his Double Play Baseball podcast, RIP. So we'll get to Skubal in a little bit. We've got baseball to get into. We've got great sound today. So first off, I do have a question, and I'll pose it to you this way. Are we sleeping on the Arizona Cardinals? Just leaving it there for a second, as one of those teams, four wins last year, as one of those teams that really takes, and I'm going to give you some advanced metrics as to why they could really make a big step forward this year. And we're going to hear from our buddy Adam Schein over at Mad Dog Sports Radio, had Jonathan Gannon on and got some great quotes. Jonathan Gannon, second year head coach with the Cardinals. He's a freaking weirdo, but I like the cut of his jib. He's an odd one. But I like the cut of his jib, so we're going to play some of those for you and jump into the market as far as the Cardinals are concerned. Tom Brady. So what's very interesting, and this has to do with the Arizona Cardinals as well, but what's interesting about Brady is Brady, in a good way, so I don't want to be disrespectful, a bit of a narcissist. He really just wants things to be about him. And so this sojourn into broadcast is going to be fascinating. You know, will he or won't he? Will he criticize? He's going to criticize because he's all about positive feedback. He's all about being the greatest. So he's not going to go in there and just throw Joe Montana vanilla softballs on the broadcast. He's going to be very good. And he was recently talking about the rookies starting. So, of course, Jaden Daniels named the starter for the Commanders yesterday. Foregone conclusion, he's done nothing wrong. Caleb Williams is going to be your starter week one for the Chicago Bears. He's done nothing wrong. In the Drake May conversation, continues as well. By the way, week three coming up on Thursday, the start of week three in the preseason, you're just not going to see starters. I want to make that very clear. We can get into some of the line movement coming up in just a bit. But Tom Brady talking about rookies starting, I think it's very interesting as well. I have a play, and we can talk about the rookie of the year market. I'm starting to think something's up in Atlanta. And so we're going to talk Michael Penix Jr. coming up, another one of those rookies. I've got something for you on the quarterback situation with the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so we're packed. Brazilian soccer, baseball, Sharp Money Survivor. Of course, we've got last night the debut of the documentary, five-part docuseries, The Search for $9.2 million. The big guy not in it. I'm not in it either. But certainly the superstars across VSiN were just absolutely lighting up the screen. And yesterday was part one, rave reviews. Bill AD, you know, the man of mystery over there as far as the daily newsletter. I mean, he was just ripping from big time people. He was ripping comments off of Twitter and letting you know, did people like the documentary? No. They love the documentary. A little behind the scenes, Circa Survivor, just absolutely lit up the television last night. And you can check out, I guess it's episode one now, over on X at VSiN Live. You can go to YouTube TV. You can go to VSiN.com and just watch it. And I guess episode two, Dustin Sweetelson, we say hi to the big guy. Episode two is going to drop next Monday. So looking forward to it. It's been a very fun ride behind the scenes of Bet and Circus Survivor. Now, I am a little concerned saying hello to Dustin today. This could be an interesting 3 hours because he did mention he may get fired over the next 3 hours. That's just a tease. But he's feeling a little unhinged right now, so it should be interesting. How you doing?
One, I love the documentary. I watched every second of it. I did not see myself in it, but I realized most of the filming took place on weekends, so there's hope for me in season two to make some appearances on the next documentary covering Circus Survivor. But I thought everyone was awesome, kind of set the scene, good amount of Mike Palm. I was impressed with his role in everything, but a good assortment of all the cast of characters we have walking around VSiN at the D and at Circa every single day.
Yeah, the mayor, Mike Palm, he's always going to weasel his way in. You know that's true.
Little elbow.
He's always going to find his way in the mix and just pops on camera. There's no doubt about that. So, tremendous job. We do want to unlock this Scooble conversation, okay. But I want to start with the Arizona Cardinals because we've got Gannon on with Shine over at Mad Dog Sports Radio and Sirius XM. There's a couple of things. One, I said, are we sleeping on them? So they finished 4-13 last year, Dustin. So let's talk about this. Now, we can pull up the season win total and the odds, the pricing on the Cardinals. I'll just say this. I do think it's a team that is going to show market improvement over the four wins. Obviously, a healthy Kyler Murray, which we'll get to in just a bit. It's a first-year head coach that now settles in, starts to find himself, which you'll hear with Gannon. 6.5 is the win total. This is a 7-plus win team. They didn't do anything crazy in free agency, which I actually liked. They didn't go nuts in free agency where they almost panicked. They didn't do that. But there's a couple of things. One, they made reasonable roster upgrades. This is a much better roster in Arizona than it was last year. And we can get into the particulars in just a bit. Now, when you start your handicapping, obviously when talking about the NFL, you start with the quarterbacks, Dustin. And as far as facing number ones, what you like to look at is the previous year. Okay, this defense performed well. And when we're talking about the Cardinals, now Gannon is a defensive-minded coach, but the defense didn't perform all that well last year. But think about it this way. On average, opposing defenses took on QB1 right around 73% of the time. The Arizona Cardinals played against QB1 on the other team just under 93% of the time, which is by far the highest mark in football. So there's a little bit of a disadvantage there. And when analyzing the defense, average 73%, QB1 going up against your defense one last year, just under 93%. So they got a little unlucky as far as the health of the other team's starter. Something to pay attention to. 93%, highest mark in football. Another one. The schedule, they're going to take on Caleb. And we'll hear from Brady talking about the rookies. They're going to take on Jaden and they're going to take on Drake May. As a matter of fact, it looks like I think you're going to get, it's not necessarily in order, but they are going to get three rookie quarterbacks, most likely, when talking about the Arizona Cardinals schedule. And here's what it really comes down to. So again, if I'm talking about the opposing quarterback one taking on this defense last year at a 93% clip, let's talk about Kyler Murray. Now, you're going to have your conversation about what you think Kyler Murray is. And it's going to be cut down the middle. People are Kyler. People are out on Kyler. He showed up. He was injured last year. But the attitude seems to be right. I think we can all agree with that. Here's the most important part when talking about this offense, which obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. and upgrades on the offense. Here's the most important part. When Kyler Murray wasn't playing quarterback one for the Arizona Cardinals last year, as far as expected points added, you don't have to know it. Just know that it's an important metric. The Arizona Cardinals were 28th in the NFL. When Kyler Murray was on the field, they were 10th in expected points added. That's the difference. I hate to be so simplistic, but it comes down to, is your starter healthy? We're not breaking any news here. So there's a couple of things. One, the offense, expected points added, top 10 when Kyler was playing last year with a young team that now has a better offensive roster. And secondly, a young defense that went up against QB1 93% of the time, highest mark in football. We might be sleeping on the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think they're a team week in and week out you're going to want to back. I think the numbers are going to be nice when it comes to the spread. You look at this team a year ago, 9-8 against the spread. I know it's not really impressive, but you mentioned they only won four games. And I think you and I did a big turn on this team with how hard they played. And we actually saw it last night in the Survivor documentary on VSiN, right? They knocked off the Cowboys in week three. It kind of opened the floodgates of everything happening with Survivor a year ago. And I think this is a team every week that played a lot of teams really tough, especially in the first half. You mentioned Jonathan Gannon. We made a big deal about Shane Steichen and the offensive mastermind and him going to Indy, and he absolutely made an impact year one. But let's keep in mind what that Eagles defense looked like year one away from Jonathan Gannon. They took a step back. The Cardinals, with lesser pieces, took a step forward. The team played everyone really, really tight. And then you look at their offseason. I think Jonah Williams was a nice little addition. The offensive line still needs some work. But when you have a player like Kyler Murray, who's super mobile, that mitigates having to have a dominant offensive line. A year ago, Trey McBride really popped off down the stretch. He was one of the best tight ends in football. I mean, he was right in that tier right below like Kittle and Kelsey and the elite guys in the league. And then I thought they had a really good draft. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., but Trey Benson from Florida State's going to end up being the starting running back at some point during the year. And then Darius Robinson. I don't think it's out of the question he could be in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He probably won't have the stats to get it, but I think he's going to have a great rookie season out of Missouri.
Yeah, new big bodies up front, Bilal Nichols, the first rounder, and Darius Robinson, Justin Jones, and Sean Murphy Bunting. It was a terrible secondary last year. Yep. They kind of added a couple pieces there. When we come back, you're going to hear from the Cardinals head coach, Jonathan Gannon. He stopped by with our buddy Adam Schein. Sharp Money. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Hour 2. We've got our good buddy Mike Randall, FTN Fantasy, coming up. John Laub is going to talk Week 0 in college football. And right now we're going to be joined by our buddy Frank Amaranti, the GameDay.com senior sports writer. You can find Frank. He does a great job on Twitter. F Amaranti TFJ. Now, unfortunately, Frank had to listen to a conversation between Dustin and I about Lionel Richie during a little break there, but he made it through. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Amaranti. Frank, how are you?
Oh, feeling great. Football season around the corner. Always love coming on this show, talking bets with you guys. I'm hyped.
Yep, let's do it. And you've got some week one leans as well. Get out in front of these numbers. We'll talk about the Jets and more. Let's get a quick baseball play in. Dustin was just talking about Bailey Ober, and you're going to go with under 1.5 walks on Ober.
Yeah, I like Ober under 1.5 walks, even with the juice at -170. You can find that at ESPN Bet. You look at Ober, 6.4% walk rate, which works out to just 2.28 walks per 9 innings. So this is a pitcher with strong control. In fact, he's often posted his under 1.5 walks around -200. So you get somewhat of a discount here at -170. And you look at Ober's matchup tonight against the Padres. The Padres ranked 28th in walk rate versus righties. So here we have a pitcher with strong control taking on an offense that likes to swing the bat and isn't as patient as others. So give me Ober under 1.5 walks.
Love it, Frank. So we're going to transition to football. Now, we were just actually talking about the Atlanta Braves and what a disastrous year the Braves have had as far as injury luck. We're going to start with your Jets and your Super Bowl play at 20-1. It obviously starts with Rodgers healthy. You know, that's where we start. Defensively, this could be a very special team. Upgrades on offense as well. And we'll start here with the Jets on a future Super Bowl 20-1.
All right, so let's start with the defense. Everyone knows that the Jets' defense is stacked, but let's just give you a sense just how stacked it is. Every offseason, Pro Football Focus ranks all the positional groups. Here's how the Jets came out on defense. First in defensive line, first in the secondary, first in linebackers. So absolutely stacked defense. You look at the offensive line for the Jets, which has been a common concern in recent years, and it's much improved. In fact, in those same rankings, PFF has the Jets fifth in offensive line. And that's because they made some good additions. They brought in Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, two experienced and effective tackles. They drafted another tackle with their first rounder in Olufashinu, who reportedly looks really good in camp, giving them depth. And let's not forget, a couple years ago, their first rounder, Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard, who's dealt with injury, is back and healthy. So they got a lot of depth on that line. You look at their receivers, they brought in Mike Williams, who, while he's off a torn ACL, he's still a contributor to give them a threat alongside Garrett Wilson, who's a stud. And Breece Hall in the backfield, they drafted Braylon Allen, who's a good backup, giving them another, you know, depth punch there. Also, Malachi Corley, their pick at receiver, could help with yards after the catch. Point is, Aaron Rodgers has no shortage of weapons for these Jets. And Aaron Rodgers, coming off the Achilles, I know it's a concern, but with the improved offensive line, it could help them keep Rodgers upright. But you got to think, this future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers has got a massive chip on his shoulder. You know, coming off the year in Green Bay where he was ineffective dealing with playing through the thumb injury, you know, you must have thought he's ready to prove himself, bounce back with the Jets last year. And then he gets hurt in the, what, first quarter? Imagine waiting that long to show the league that you still got it. And I think you don't count out, you know, such a terrific football player, you know, with a chip on his shoulder. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play really well with a very good supporting cast. And as a cherry on top, according to Sharp Football, the Jets have the fourth easiest schedule this year. So add all their off-season improvements and the easy schedule, you could see them win the division, potentially get a home game in the playoffs, maybe even the first round bye. And at 20-1, which is 11th ranked in the NFL, I mean, you got to love the value there.
Yeah, that is a tremendous. He's been studying the Jets, Frank. That's a tremendous breakdown. 20-1 Jet Super Bowl from Mr. Amaranti. Now, the next one, I love a price, and we certainly have one. So Zeke Elliott just jumping over the pile, potentially to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. Now, we got a price, 70-1. Let's go with Zeke back in Dallas.
All right. Everyone's probably laughing at this one. I know Zeke is well past his prime. You could even argue maybe he's cooked. But one thing that Zeke could still do is do well in short yardage. I mean, it was only 2022 when he rushed for 12 touchdowns last time he was with the Cowboys. Now, you look at Dallas. They still got a really good offense. They're going to be in the red zone frequently. They play at a fast pace. You know, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb there. But here's a stat. Tony Pollard last season had 60 red zone carries. That was second in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey. He only scored 6 touchdowns, so he didn't get it done for the Cowboys, Pollard, in the red zone. So that's why they brought Zeke back, because they needed to address a problem that they have in short yardage. So given the fact that it's only been 1 year removed that Zeke scored double-digit touchdowns, playing in a good offense, you know, you look at his backfield mate, Rico Dowdle, completely unproven. I mean, it's late in the offseason for the Cowboys to really add anyone to this backfield. Maybe if Khalil Herbert or someone becomes available at the end of preseason, but I don't expect that happening. So here you have Zeke, who's still good in short yardage, playing in an offense that will score a lot of points, be in the red zone often. I mean, at 70-1, you got to love that value. It kind of reminds me of 2022 when Jamal Williams led the league in rushing touchdowns with 17. No one thought that was a long shot as well when that happened. And it was a similar case, a running back who was in a committee with DeAndre Swift in a great offense, and he ended up scoring a lot of touchdowns. Love the value on Zeke.
Sold. I'm in. I love a nice sweat. 70-1, we can have fun with that. Why not? Frank, let's go week one. And this number's interesting. Minnesota at the Giants. So some shops are showing a pick'em. Some are showing Minnesota laying one. Some are showing the Giants laying a point and a half. You got the Giants hosting Minnesota plus one here.
Yeah, I just don't think the Vikings at this stage should be favored on the road at any point. I mean, Sam Darnold, I know Kevin O'Connell is great with quarterbacks, but the fact is this is Sam Darnold. He needs to show us before, you know, he deserves to be a road favorite. I know the Giants, everyone loves to hate on them, but the fact is, their defensive front could be a little bit scary, bringing in Brian Burns from the Panthers to go along with former first-rounder Kayvon Thibodeau, and they got Dexter Lawrence up there. So that pass rush could be a problem, especially for, you know, an erratic quarterback like Sam Darnold. Malik Nabers, the first-round receiver, is completely balling out in camp. Finally gives Daniel Jones the first wide receiver one of his career, like a legit potential star. And I know Daniel Jones, he's one of the worst starters in the league, but having a receiver like Neighbors could at least help him a little bit. And let's not forget, this Giants team went to the playoffs in 2022. Brian Daboll is a good coach. Not to say the Giants are a playoff team this year, but in a home game against a Vikings team that has questionable quarterback play, and I didn't even mention the Vikings defense losing Danielle Hunter, their pass rush could be non-existent. They really need first-rounder Dallas Turner to show something, and he's a rookie. What's he going to show in game one? I mean, you can't expect too much. So given all that, Giants as short home dogs, I like them in week one.
Yeah, I like that play as well. The next one up is fascinating. So Vegas at the Chargers. It's going to be a home game in Los Angeles for the Vegas Raiders. What's interesting here, so Minshew named the starter. His number opened the Chargers 3. Yesterday got bet all the way up to 4.5. Now a little buyback, and we're sitting 3.5 with the Chargers laying it. So you're not going to mess with the side, but you do have a lean on the under 42.5 here.
Yeah, I like the under because let's start with the Chargers. It's clear that Jim Harbaugh wants to, you know, emphasize the running game and really bring more balance to the Chargers, who had been pass heavy the last couple seasons. You know, they pass on Malik Neighbors, bringing in Joe Alt. That gives them a nice combo with former first rounder Rashawn Slater. They also, the Chargers, have a former first rounder at guard in Zion Johnson. They're improving in the trenches, the Chargers are. And I think they're going to really have an effective running game. And of course, if a team runs more, that slows down the game. It prevents the likelihood of a shootout, and it works well with the under. You look on the other side, the Raiders, same thing with Antonio Pierce, head coach. He loves to run the ball. And Gardner Minshew at quarterback, that's not going to be a pass-heavy offense. You look at the Raiders' defense, bringing in Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, going along with Max Crosby, stud edge rusher. They could have a low-key, pretty good defense, the Raiders. So add in the fact Justin Herbert, while he practiced, he still has the foot injury that could linger in the season and affect his mobility. So against a vaunted pass rush like the Raiders have, I can't imagine, you know, the Chargers really dropping back too much. So here we have a divisional game, closely contested. I think there'll be a lot of running, which could lead to a low-scoring matchup.
Love it. Week one lean, Raiders, Chargers, under 42.5. The Giants catching one, hosting the Vikings. Zeke, 70-1, lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. I want to get in on that sweat. And the Jets, Super Bowl, also Bailey Ober, under 1.5 walks. It just feels nice to literally be talking about week one of the NFL. And we will talk to you as the season gets closer. Frank Amaranti, of course, thegameday.com senior sports writer, F. Amaranti, TFJ on Twitter. Thanks, Frank. Great information.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure. You guys have a great day.
You too, buddy. Look forward to talking to you during the season as well. So, you know what? I kind of like that Zeke play. 70-1. Let's get a sweat going, big guy.
But just think about it. Think about the Cowboys. They drive down into the red zone. That's where a lot of these offenses stall with the passing game. Hand it off to Zeke. We know he's not running for 40 yards anymore. He's going to need the oxygen tank if that happens. I think I could run 40 yards quicker than Zeke. However, we're talking goal line situations. I don't hate the idea of him just punching it in. Your boy Jamal Williams led the league in touchdowns a few years ago. He barely ran for like 40 yards a pop.
Look at you. You nailed it. Speaking of which, our Sharp Money survivor has survived to live another day. We'll get to that next. Sharp Money. Pretty easy. Everybody knows our next guest is the GOAT. He's my favorite guest that we have on the program. I'll say that out loud. He's Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. They have models. They do a ton of extensive work when it comes to the NFL, college football, every sport. So FTNFantasy.com. He's the chief content officer at Randall Rant on Twitter. And he joins us. We were talking circa 97. There was an opportunity that Randall almost lived in Vegas. How would life have gone differently if you made the plunge and moved to Las Vegas back in 97?
Sliding doors moment. College girlfriend and I walking around a big educational fair. Guy walks over, says, hey, we'll hire both of you guys right now on the spot. You're a math teacher. We have an elementary teacher here as your girlfriend. Maybe you guys get married. We need to hire 13,000 teachers, something like that, in the summer of 1997. Could have been there right next to you, but guys, as in sliding doors, we find our way back to each other no matter what happens.
Yeah, and well, and it kind of an unspoken part of that story, it didn't quite work out with you and the young lady.
Right. Didn't work out with me and the young lady, but then, as you know, the current blind date, J.J. Redick at the bar, here we are two kids later. That's how life works out, guys. Greatness.
You're the best. The Patriots, let's start with your week one plays, okay? You got the Pats catching nine. I think you're down on the Bengals. You can help me here. I feel like you're one of the only ones maybe not as high on the Bengals this year. The Patriots are going to be awful, but that doesn't matter. We're going to take the nine with the Patriots week one.
Did I miss the memo that the Bengals are some unstoppable force just because they have a fourth place schedule? Jamar Chase, side of a milk carton, holding out with 2 years left on the contract. That doesn't look to get resolved anytime soon. A lot of faith here in Zach Moss and Chase Brown in the backfield. Folks, Zach Taylor, first two games of every year as head coach with the Bengals. 0-2, 0-2, 1-1, overtime win. 0-2, 0-2. That's 1-9 here in his 5 years as the Bengals head coach. Shows to me that they don't get off to a great start. Jamar Chase not there. 9.5's a lot. I'm with you on the Patriots, but it is week one. I don't think the Patriots are going 0-16, and I don't think the Bengals are some dominant team. I will take the 9.5. This line has creeped up way too much. Guys, you're going to give me double digits in week one potentially? No chance. I'll take the Patriots.
Yeah, you can find a 9.5 in the market right now. I'm seeing some nines. DraftKings is showing 9. FanDuel showing Cincinnati laying 9.5. So get the best of the number there with the Patriots. Onward. The Panthers catching 4.5 at the Saints. What's your take here?
Patrick, 67-40-1. You know what that is? That's divisional underdogs against the spread in week one. I happen to not like the Saints, and I do like Carolina with the new head coach in Dave Canales, Deontay Johnson there. Solid defense for Carolina. I will take these points. It's now 5. Look at that. The gift that keeps on giving. I will take them against New Orleans here. New Orleans with an offense very up and down. Taysom Hill at the goal line. We can get to that in a little bit. But I think it's too many points for a divisional underdog. And folks, everyone's fading the Panthers after last year, just like they faded C.J. Stroud and Kyron Williams prior to the season as well last year. I'll take the 5 with the Panthers.
A big smile on the big guy's face because he is backing the Carolina Panthers this year. Makes you feel good to get the cosign from Mr. Randall?
Yeah, Randall, look. Patrick cornered us, made a bet with myself and Mike Somich, you know from the handle, and said he loves the Commanders. Me and Somich laughed at him that he loves the Commanders so much. He said, okay, find a team with a similar win total, similar record from a year ago. Whoever has the best record wins our bet. Loser has to pay $1,000 to the winner. Well,
I love it.
He chose Washington. Somich chose the Raiders. I chose last, and I went Panthers, and I feel great about it.
The password, Dustin, is Moneyline. That's what it is for week one, my friend. Enjoy.
Oh, the Texans at the Colts week one. Now, I got 1.5. The Texans laying it at the Colts. We can find to see if this number's adjusted at all, but you do like the Texans here on the road week one.
I do, and this goes against the number because, again, I am my own person here, my own better, and 26-14 home dogs here week one against the spread, but that's 14 times that they've lost. I think it's going to happen here. I like this Texan team, added Stephon Diggs. Defense is solid. Anthony Richardson has not looked good in practice. I think the Colts are going to be frisky. I just don't like them in week one. This game will be close, Patrick, but I think the Texans pull away, get a 3-point win or something. So I will lay the 1.5 here on the road here in the division rival. I don't care about it. I'll take Texans -1.5.
We got a number of 4, 4.5. So you're going to take Tennessee at you. Chicago's going to be a fascinating team as far as pricing all year. I think they're overvalued in the market right now, but week to week, because of the Williams flash, it's going to be interesting to see how they're priced. You're going to take the Titans catching 4.5 in week one.
Underdogs in week one, when they are over 3-point underdogs and did not make the playoffs the year before, have been covering in week one for the last decade at about a 60% rate. I like the Bears. Caleb Williams, great offense, but let's take it easy with 4.5 points. Will Levis, solid bunch of receivers, solid defensive front as well. Can't run on the Titans, so he's going to have to attack him through the air. We'll gladly take the 4.5 here. This is the public overrating Caleb Williams and the Bears. 4.5 is too much. You know, 3, 7, 8, those are critical numbers. 4.5, I'll gladly take here on a Titans team that no one is backing. Tony Pollard looks healthy. A lot of weapons for the Titans, and DeAndre Hopkins will be back.
Hey, there you go. Now, you've got some anytime touchdown props. I want to start with anytime touchdown Chargers, Gus Edwards, plus 230 versus the Raiders. That's an interesting one. That's going to be a home game in Los Angeles for the Raiders. But before you get to Gus Edwards, what'd you think about Minshew being named the starter there?
Little surprised by that. I think the Raiders, when they get out of this year, need to know what they have in Aiden O'Connell. I don't think there's any benefit to giving Minshew an extended run. I think the issue was the interception with O'Connell. I was watching that game live. I said, oh, the O'Connell bet's going to cash here week one. Then he threw that pick six. Antonio Pierce has no patience for that whatsoever. So I think I was surprised. I get it. But I do think at some point they have to give Aiden O'Connell an extensive run, because you don't want to get to the end of the season and say, what do we have in O'Connell? I don't know. No, you need to know, because you need to plan for the draft.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Gus Edwards, plus 230, anytime touchdown against the Raiders week one. Anytime touchdown Cleveland, Dante Foreman, plus 340. Nice little price here, Randall, against the Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll start with Gus Bus. The most reliable thing in the NFL this year, death taxes, and the Chargers are going to run the ball. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. Frank Gore, everybody loves Frank Gore. 4 consecutive years, basically 1,200 rushing yards with San Francisco when Harbaugh was there. He is going to run it for sure. And Gus Edwards at the goal line is going to get the ball in week one. I don't know why this number is where it is. I expect it to go down. I like J.K. Dobbins also, but Gus Bus is going to get the ball. Now let's go to the Browns. We know Nick Chubb isn't going to start here. Deonta Foreman played in the last preseason game for the Browns, and this is, guys, where we can learn by watching the preseason. It's how I won a fantasy title with Arian Foster several years ago. Deonta Foreman is getting the ball at the goal line. It's not Jerome Ford. You're going to give me over 3-1 on Foreman getting the ball at the goal line. When he got it, he looked good. He was healthy. He recovered. He had the scare in practice, but he's totally healthy here. It's not going to be Jerome Ford. I get it that they have to get there and be at the goal line or that area, but Deonta Foreman's going to get a lot more carries than Jerome Ford truthers like. So I love that number here, hitting at plus 340 with the Browns.
Juicy. You got an anytime touchdown no on your boy, the aforementioned Taysom Hill, plus 185 versus the Panthers.
Oh, I think he's getting it. No, this is a yes, Patrick.
Oh, this is a yes. Okay.
Yo, I think Taysom Hill's getting it. Their usage of Taysom Hill, the narrative is consistent. What I'm reading, what I'm seeing, he got a goal line touch the other day. Jamal Williams looked terrible. Alvin Kamara, where is he? Nobody knows. I think Taysom Hill is going to be used in a lot of different ways, running, catching, handoffs. Anytime touchdown at plus 180, plus 185, whatever it is, I will take it. Taysom Hill is a great fantasy play here, we feel, at FTN, because he's tight end eligible in a lot of these leagues. So these are three players with good numbers that I'm basing it off of the usage in the preseason. And with the Chargers and the Gus Bus, it's Jim Harbaugh, and he runs the damn ball.
And that's a yes on Taysom Hill, plus 185 versus the Panthers. Love it. You can check out the models and the numbers over at FTNFantasy.com. Go stop by and say hi to the GOAT, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant on Twitter. Randall, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys. Thanks.
All right. See you later, buddy. There goes Rant. Randall's all over it. FTN Fantasy. You'll love to see it.
The Foreman play, I especially like. Not just the number that he's getting at plus 320. Remember last year, they had a bunch of different running backs filling in for Nick Chubb. That team likes to run the football. We still don't know the status of Deshaun Watson's arm. I think Foreman getting in the end zone week one is very likely.
Yes, sir. We've got rookies. Part of the reason I like the Cardinals over is because they're going to play three rookies. Now, Drake May, that conversation is still up in the air. I don't think the GOAT, the real GOAT, Tom Brady, is a big fan of rookies starting. We'll hear from your boy Tom Brady. We'll get into some Brazilian soccer for the big guy. Kulo, you know?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
Oh, you know.
It's expensive.
OK, Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, week zero college, but just feels good to say we've got live bullets, college football starting up this weekend. We're going to talk to John Laub about college football. Fantrax, college football writer, does a great job. You can find him on Twitter at GridironSCOL91. Now, what I want to do here, you got great notes, John. Welcome to the program. You've got higher than the market on a few college teams and a couple of pro teams. You've got some Heisman targets to get to. And you've got long shots, which I love in some of the conferences here. Let's start with the ACC. And, of course, we've got Dublin, Florida State, Georgia Tech. The number right now at most shops, Florida State laying 11 and 55 and a half. And that opener in Ireland. However, if we go to the ACC and take a look at one of your long shots, it's North Carolina. Why?
Actually, North Carolina State, the Wolfpack.
NC State. Okay.
Yes, NC State. I like Grayson McCall, the quarterback. They also have a very young quarterback, a freshman. I'm sorry, his name escapes me right now. And when you look at the schedule, it's not intimidating. I mean, there's really, I guess Clemson might be a bump in the road, obviously Tennessee, but they're at home. North Carolina looks down. I look at that. I think 9 to 10 wins is no problem here. And North Carolina State has never reached the ACC championship game. And the coach is pushing that all off season. So I think there's a little motivation there for the Wolfpack team.
Love it. NC State 6.5 to 1 in the ACC. I just talked about, of course, Florida State and Georgia Tech. Florida State is your betting favorite in the ACC at plus 290. Are they rightful favorites?
Not at all. I just cannot believe that people are looking at this team. And I'm a Mike Norvell guy. But I do believe that experience, games played, and returning players matter. They've lost so many players from that undefeated team. And we saw them in the bowl game last year when they just got swamped because all of their players decided not to play because they didn't make the playoffs and they were getting ready for their NFL careers. I'm not a big DJ Uiagalelei. He's all right. He's a good college quarterback. I don't think he's a big difference maker. I'm totally off the Seminoles this year.
Loved it. That is an opinion. I love it. John Laub, Fantrax, college football writer. Okay, let's get to the Big Ten, and you're taking a shot here. So, of course, the Big Ten right now, Ohio State's plus 155. Oregon's not far behind at 2-1. Then you've got Penn State at 5-1. But you're going to look to Nebraska. It's a big number, 55-1. You're high on Nebraska this year.
It's really the coaching staff. And I look, the freshman quarterback, Raiola, is coming in. He's really good. He's going to start. I think they named him the starter early in this week. So I understand why there's trepidation from people with the freshman quarterback. But Matt Rhule, if you remember, before his stint at the NFL, and the NFL did not turn out to be very good, but I do believe there are college coaches and then there are NFL coaches. He turned Temple around really quickly. Then he goes to Baylor, and he turned Baylor around, and now we look at what's happened to Baylor. They're looking real in bad shape this year. And now he's at his second year with Nebraska. He's got a dynamic young quarterback. His defense is going to be improved. I really like this. I'm always looking for long shots. Who wants to bet Ohio State? Fine. Bet $10, win $1.50. I want to win the 55-1. I like Nebraska here a ton.
I love it. Let's go to the SEC. And Georgia, obviously, the favorite at plus 190. Texas, plus 320. We'll get to Ole Miss, who you're high on in just a bit. But I love the price. A lot of returning production at Mizzou. Missouri, 18-1. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I was talking just earlier about how Florida State had lost all kinds of production and players. Missouri's almost the exact opposite. They lost some key members on defense, but not the total exodus like the Seminoles did down in Tallahassee. They have enough returning players. They bring in some transfers. They've actually been recruiting pretty well. And the offense, they have the quarterback in Brady Cook. They have arguably a top 10 pick in Luther Burden, the wide receiver. They're going to be able to throw the ball. And the big bump is obviously Alabama. That's on the road. That's obviously a problem. But if you look at the schedule on the screen there, again, that's not overly intimidating. Where do you say to yourself, oh, my God, Missouri can't win this game other than probably Alabama?
John's getting me fired up for college football. I love the vibes right now. Let's stick in the SEC. Lane has a loaded squad. So we'll talk Ole Miss and Jackson Dart as well, Heisman. But you're higher than even the market on Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think Mississippi's in a great spot here. Lane Kiffin, now there's a lot of different perspectives. I happen to like Lane Kiffin. I think he's a really good coordinator of offense, at least in the top five in college football. He's a big believer in the transfer portal. So they had some talent beforehand, but man, he just reloads. And you look again, like schedule and returning production means so much in college football, not as much in the NFL, but definitely in college. And again, look at that easy schedule to open up. How do they not jump out of the gate at 4-0? And they're probably going to put 160 points up. They might get 180 on that schedule, knowing Lane Kiffin. Then you're going to see there's a tough game, Kentucky. But I do think they're better. I'm already salivating for that October 12th game at LSU. Oh, my God, that might be a 75-80 point over-under when we get there. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, again, Georgia. So there's really three games that I'm concerned about. If they go 2-1 in those three games, they have an outside chance here. I like them in the SEC championship game.
Love it. So Heisman targets, Jackson Dart, and then Colorado and Travis Hunter.
I am all in on Jackson Dart. I like experience at the quarterback position. And if people don't know, Jackson Dart started at USC, then he transferred over to Mississippi. He's coming into an SEC where there's a lot of changeover at the quarterback position. You do have Brady Cook and Carson Beck and Jackson Dart. You have the big three, right? I love those guys. But then you have some other players I have questions about. I'm also looking for value at the Heisman Trophy. And I think I read some crazy stat. This was last year, why I bet on Jaden Daniels. And you can hear me on the FSGA Prop Bet Awards where I did it. I took Jaden Daniels because I got to get value for my bet. And I think the favorite hasn't won the Heisman in like 12 years. It's some crazy amount of time. So I think betting at the top of the board is insanity. We just mentioned Mississippi is loaded. If they get to the SEC championship game, it's because Jackson Dart is great. And if Jackson Dart is great, he has a nice chance there of winning the Heisman. It's 14-1 odds. I'll take that. Put down 15, 20 bucks on Jackson Dart. You got a Christmas present for your wife. I mean, I like them here a ton on this one.
I love it. And great information about the Heisman favorites. John Laub is joining us here. Fantrax, college football writer, does a great job. I want to ask you about two pro teams. The Tennessee Titans. You're a little bit higher on the Titans than others.
I do like the Titans, man. Now, it hurts that DeAndre Hopkins went down, so I understand that. But Will Levis should be improved in this Callahan system. They got to be better. They were Neanderthals on offense the last couple of years, right? Their offensive line had completely fallen apart. We're going to give it to Derrick Henry. And on 3rd and 8, we want Ryan Tannehill or a rookie quarterback, Will Levis, to make a play. Well, that's not a really good recipe for winning a lot of football games. Callahan's more creative. He helped Joe Burrow grow at Cincinnati. Now, obviously, Will Levis is not the talent of Joe Burrow, but he understands taking a young quarterback and putting him in a position to succeed. What I like that they did, their offensive line, I believe it was bottom five last year, depending on whose grading system you look at, right? Some people have different metrics, but that offensive line was bad. Well, what did the Titans do in the offseason? They addressed the offensive line. I know people say a young quarterback's best friend is the running game, the tight end. I'll say their best friend is the five guys up front. If those five guys up front keep that young quarterback protected, they're good. I love that 6.5. And I think that division is more open, the AFC South. It is more open than I think people expect it to be. The Colts, the Titans, the Texans, and the Jaguars are all very close. What if Jacksonville goes 3-3 in their division games? I love that 6.5 over.
Titans 6.5. John Lobb's got me fired up for both college and pro football. Great job. Fantrax, college football writer. You can find John over there. Football right around the corner. So we'll do it again soon, John. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everyone. And thank you for having me on, Patrick.
Thank you for coming on. That was tremendous. You know what? Energy infectious. That's a good job by you, big guy. Fantrax, college football writer, John Lobb. Did a great job. Oh, by the way, he's high on the Raiders. Big 12 long shot, Iowa State.
The Big 12 is the wild, wild west. You could convince me of like 8 teams in that league to win it this year.
We'll convince you of a Heisman winner next. Coming up on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Shout to Florida. Oh.